Oh, yeah, it's Monday. My heart's not in it.
Wait a second. Start over. Wait.
No.
What? How did you just say that? That
oh, yeah, like... it's Monday.
Wow.
It's rainy and ugly. And
I know, but there needs to be some sort of effort. That was just...
I said it.
Yeah, but that's all you did. They're, usually you sell it. That... Are
no.
you sure?
It's such a rainy, yeah. ugly, oil painting-like Monday.
Yeah, it is.
Was it hard to get out of bed today? Because did you notice it was darker in the morning?
You know what's strange is? I have not had that sensation of... You know how for most of us, for many of us, there is that thing, especially on a rainy Monday, where you wake up and you look around and you go, oh, I don't want to do this. I've not had that in years. It's been years since I've had that feeling.
You are the one person who can say that.
I think that's probably true. Most people get that every once in a while. I don't remember the last time I just woke up and went, I'm just going to stay here.
The hardest part of my day is waking up.
Is that right? The best part of waking up, Wendy, is Folgers in your cup.
That's what I need to get me going. I just love my bed. And I need a new bed. It's not even that comfortable.
Christmas hint. Jasmine, write that down. Christmas hint for Wendy. She needs a new bed.
It's a queen size, and Jim and I end up punching each other when we move around. It's just too small.
Do what Terry and I did. We got bunk beds. It's the best. It's so much fun, and it looks like a stagecoach.
I hate my bed, but I love being in it. Does that make any sense to you?
What else, Fanny Dooley? Tell us more.
That's
very peculiar.
On days like today, and I really noticed this morning, my alarm goes off at 6:35 every day.
Yeah.
And then the next alarm goes off at 6:45, and then 7, and then 7:15, just
and
to bug me.
And you keep snoozing it? You keep hitting it?
It's just my phone, so yeah. And after a while, you know, I have to give Dylan a wake-up call about 6:45.
I bet he gets a couple too, doesn't he? It's never that first one.
I have never been that person who can just go, well, let's seize the day.
You know, for a long time, when you were part of this too, morning shows, when
that
you have to
tough.
Get up at like 4:30 or something like that, I had a series of two hits on the snooze alarm, and then I'd really get up. And Terry would always say to me, why don't you just set the alarm for an extra 25 minutes later and not have to go through that process of going, oh, I'm going to sleep more and hitting the snooze. But for me, I called it bonus sleep. It's like I should get up now. I could get up now, but I'm going to give myself an extra 10 minutes, and then I would do it again.
Which in the grand scheme of things, when I hit the snooze 3 times and when you did it,
yeah.
Honestly, it's more annoying to fall asleep for 6 minutes and then have to wake up again.
I cherished it, and I would fall asleep right away, and I go, look, bonus sleep. And I would just be right, I would sleep within seconds. It was like I had some control over it. I didn't. I knew when I had to get up, but I tricked myself into believing. Terry always sets clocks ahead 10 or 15 minutes.
I do that too.
But you know what time it really is. You're always doing math in your head. You're always going, it's 15 minutes prior to that.
But when you're just waking up, and as I mentioned, it's darker now at 6:30 than it was last week, and it's going to continue to be that way.
Yeah.
You look at the clock, and you go, oh, I got to get going. Then, once you're up, you're like, oh, yeah, it's a little fast.
Yes.
I don't do the math when I'm still sleepy, no.
The math is immediate to me. We don't have two clocks in our house that have the same time.
We don't either.
Isn't that weird? They're all off by a minute or three. There's one downstairs that's like an hour and 20 minutes off. I don't know how that happened. So it's constantly, you're struggling with math everywhere in my house.
Yeah, I just don't like waking up is really the whole thing. I'm up, my day's
people,
great.
Right? It's like that.
Except you.
I'm fine with it. And I'm not one of those early morning, yay, I'm not one of those people. But we're very fortunate. It's an easy job. It doesn't take
long
to
do. Love
the
job. The hardest part is waking up to get to the job.
No, you're right. I wanted to bring this up. Last night, now, I don't know if you remember this, but when we were kids, it seemed like Sunday, for the most part, on television was a wasteland. There were every once in a while you get a good show. Monty Python's Flying Circus aired on Sunday nights here.
10:30.
So that was a nice savior. But for the most part, there was never anything really great
on shows. It was bad. Yeah.
Well, I liked 60 Minutes when I was older, but as a kid.
Yeah, as a kid, you don't like that.
60 Minutes, come on. So I've noticed now Sunday nights has become one of the best nights of television. Curb Your Enthusiasm is on. The Walking Dead is on. John Oliver is on. There's loads of really great stuff on television. So last night, I wanted so badly to see this, and I didn't see it, but I'm going to watch it. I know they're going to rerun it again. There's a documentary that started on Hulu yesterday, and it's, believe me, it's tailor-made for you. It's tailor-made for both of us. It's called Too Funny to Fail. And what it's about is, I don't even know if you'll remember this, for a while, we're going back 15 years maybe, Dana Carvey had his own series. He was just off of Saturday Night Live, and they gave him a network show. And I think it only lasted 3 or 4 episodes. And the roster of people that were on it, both as writers, Louis C.K. was the head writer. He's 29 years old. He wasn't ready to be a head writer quite yet, but they gave him the job. Steve Carell was a regular on the show. Stephen Colbert was a regular on the show. Charlie Kaufman, who's an Academy Award nominated screenwriter, was one of the writers for the show.
Wow.
When you look at the writer of who was involved, and Dana Carvey was red hot coming off of Saturday Night Live. So I've seen two different promos for this documentary, and it's what happens when you get all the best people together, and it, as the title implies, Too Funny to Fail, it just doesn't do well. Its lead-in was, I think, Tim Allen's show.
Home Improvement?
Home Improvement, I think,
was its lead-in. I really liked that show.
So at the time, that was one of the top shows on television, and there are spots on television that they give to shows where you can't... When you have that many people watching, you're going to get some of the carryover. Well, the turnoff rate, they said, in the first 5 minutes alone, a third of the audience in the first 5 minutes went, and changed the channel.
I vaguely remember that he had a show, but I know I never watched it.
I knew it and watched it because I know Steve Carell.
Yeah.
So because I was talking to him quite regularly at the time, I wanted to see the show. And I thought it was really good. But here's what I thought right off the bat in this documentary kind of makes mention of it. He wanted the show. This will be the second Monty Python reference in a very short span of time. Dana Carvey envisioned it as being the American version of Monty Python, and people didn't know quite what to make of it. It was a very peculiar, odd kind of a... It was sketch comedy, but it was very off-center, and people just didn't know what to make of it and then just gave up on it, you know? But I'm so anxious to see it because now, you know, all these guys have done really well for themselves. So it's easy to look back and go, hey, we tried something and it didn't work. But they're all, I mean, Stephen Colbert's doing fine. Carell's doing fine. Everybody's doing fine. But that's the beauty of something like this is you think, well, here's something that can't possibly miss. We've got one of the hottest comedians on TV and all these young up-and-coming writers and stars. Watch this. And it just failed miserably.
And what's the thing called on
Hulu? It's called Too Funny to Fail. It's a Hulu documentary that premiered last night. The two clips I've seen, the two trailers I've seen are each like 90 seconds or 2 minutes, and those alone are so incredibly entertaining because they show clips from it, and you go, this is really funny. Why didn't anybody buy into this? Nobody bought into it.
I will look that up. Did you watch The Walking Dead last night?
I did.
Did you enjoy The Walking Dead last night?
I did. I did. I still think, I know there's been a lot of people who have either given up on it or it's not as important to them as it used to be, but I still think... For what it is, it's one of the best shows on TV.
Ever.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I'm so tense and uncomfortable during the hour that it's on.
Jim kind of gave up on it after a last season's premiere where there was a bludgeoning. Let's just say that.
It was very graphic.
And he just said, I can't sign up for this anymore. So he didn't watch it last season.
Yeah. He gave up on the whole season because of that one episode? Wow.
I was shocked. So Dylan and I, my 14-year-old, would watch it all the time. And then last night when it was ready to come on, I planned dinner. I made Zippy beef casserole for everybody.
Named because it's fast to make or for Zippy the Pinhead?
I'm not really sure why it's called that, but it's just ground beef and cheddar cheese and green peppers and onions and cream of mushroom soup. And you crumble potato chips on the top of it. And everybody wanted Zippy beef, so I planned everything so we would be eating and finished in time for the premiere of The Walking Dead.
Because that's not a show you can eat dinner at.
No.
There are some shows that lend themselves to that. That's not one of them.
Dylan keeps wanting to eat ribs during The Walking Dead, and I'm like, first of all, I am not making them because there's no way you can do that, especially ribs. So we finished our Zippy beef, and Dylan says, I'm going in the basement. I want to watch it alone. And I said, well, Dad's not going to watch it. Can I watch it with you? He goes, Mom, I got to be honest with you. We thankfully have two TVs. I want to watch it by myself because if I'm by myself, then I can really get into it. If someone's there, I know you don't talk during it, but if you do, then you're going to pull me out of the moment. Huh. And I kind of really understand that.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. There's a knot in my stomach through most of the episode every week because it's just, it's very uneasy. It's very uncomfortable. And yet I keep subjecting myself to it. I love it.
I do too.
I think it's really good. The acting's good. And I know that there a lot of the actors on the show are British, but again, yesterday they did this thing because it was their 100th
episode.
So did you see the thing they did earlier in the evening at AMC where they kind of had all the stars talking about it?
Oh,
did
no. See any of that? I watched Talking Dead afterwards. Well, with Chris Hardwick, and they had all the stars.
I recorded that. I've not seen that. But it was everybody connected with the show just saying, you know, when we started this thing 8 years ago? It must have been 8 years ago, right?
I think so.
Nobody expected to still be here. And they're all very candid about how they appreciate the fact that, you know,
it's still going.
It's still going. And
the
going.
Fans
right,
are rabid.
Right. So many of the stars of this show, both Talking Dead and Fear, I'm sorry, Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, are British, but they don't play British characters. Rick Grimes is British. Jesus is British.
I forgot that, and we had him in the studio, right. And I even forgot he was British.
Who's
Maggie?
Maggie is British. So the guy that I didn't know is British is...
Morgan.
Morgan. I had no idea.
I knew he was British.
I had no idea he was British. So, like, I don't know...
It shocked you, didn't it?
Yeah, because I still remember when I was a kid... I love the Fugitive.
Yeah.
Did you see The Fugitive? So the guy who was the inspector on that, Barry Morse, I had seen every episode of The Fugitive, and then he showed up on some show once, and I thought he was faking a British accent, and I got mad at him. I'm like, come on, you're a great actor. You don't need to pretend you're British. We respect you. This is ridiculous. But then when he was on Space 1999 later, then he was British, and I go, oh, wait a second. But it's so weird when you see somebody who's so good at an American dialect... And they're speaking their own native tongue. They're speaking with a Brit. And you go, oh, wait a second. That guy or that girl? That's incredible.
The first time, you know, obviously we knew of the Beatles when we were younger. And they sang like they sang American, you know. So the first time I was pretty young and saw an interview show of the Beatles, I couldn't believe they had accents. It really, know, that one shocked me.
So you didn't
me.
Know the Beatles had British accents.
I knew where they were from, but I'm a little kid.
You didn't
and
put it together.
You know, please, please me, not please, please me. You know, it just sounded weird to me.
Yeah.
So Morgan, I guess, wowed you last night.
I
forget that he's British.
Yeah. All right, so what do you think the incentive is there? Because there's plenty of great American actors who would love to be on the show. So whoever's casting it, what do you think they're seeing where they go, let's take a whole bunch of British people and throw them on? I'm fine with it. I like. There's not a single person I just mentioned that I would like to see replaced, but that's an interesting thing that so many of the cast for both the two Walking Dead shows are British. Like, I know you don't watch Fear the Walking Dead anymore, but the Johnny Depp lookalike guy and his sister, they're both British.
Like, the sister's British?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are there just... there's a specific look that they're going for.
I can't figure it out.
And where do they go to a website? Like, you know, I guess you do go to IMDb and look around, but what do you...
Well, they do it all through casting agents, right? So a talent agent says to a casting agent, I got a guy who can read for the part, but like one or two you can kind of see, but when so many of the people are British, there's something going on there. I'm not saying change it. It's just
very bizarre for me.
When you see them all talk or hear them all talk and you go, wow.
Well,
I feel like I'm in Parliament.
Especially Rick, because they're, you know, in the South, you know, and it's like Carl, you know. So that's even weirder when all of a sudden you hear this proper British dialect.
Right. I know. All right, let's do this. We must take a break. We've got news coming up. I think Judy Pilak is in today, I'm pretty sure.
I haven't seen her yet, but we haven't heard otherwise.
It's a mystery, Wendy. It's a mystery. All right, so find out who does the news. That's coming up next. And then... some Halloween scares that you may have and not even know you have. I'll explain more in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, you're a huge hockey fan.
I am. I will be watching. Oh, I'm not watching tonight. I'm going out to dinner with my girlfriends.
I'm sure they'll have TVs there.
Yeah.
I don't know. At the bar?
No, we're going to like a...
They're not playing tonight. They're playing tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
You'll be home. You'll be home by tomorrow.
Some Peruvian or Argentinian restaurant. I'm not really sure what it is.
They will not have TVs there.
Well, they're not playing tonight, so I'm good.
The name of the Las Vegas team is?
The Poker Chips.
Yep, the Las Vegas Poker Chips. Very good.
I can't remember.
I wanted to say Raptors, but no, that's
no,
someone else.
No, Toronto in basketball, that's the Toronto Raptors.
The Vegas
It makes a lot of
Vikings.
Sense. It. I mean, it
The Vegas
fits.
Players?
No, it's not the players.
Players.
Nope, it's not
One
that.
One more hint.
There's a color involved. Does that help at all?
Nope.
Greenbacks.
Yep, the Las Vegas Greenbacks.
That is not.
Nope.
What's a greenback?
Money.
Oh.
What? Golden Knights.
Ah, yeah. There you go. That makes no sense at all. Well, golden like nuggets, but they just changed that to Knights.
Call on the Nuggets.
Yeah, Las Vegas isn't exactly in the realm of kingdoms, although there is one shaped like a castle, though, so I guess that.
This is their first season?
Yeah, and so I think they're like 6-1 or something.
What?
They're really good. Like, way better. Expansion teams are always the worst team in the league, or almost. I should say almost always. If they're not the worst team, they're the second or third worst team. But these guys drafted really well. They got a bunch of guys that have played really good hockey in the past, put together a great roster, and I think they're 6-1 or 6-2. They're really good.
I'm anxious to see that game tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be a good game.
Hey, did you hear the news about Jay Cutler, your friend Jay Cutler?
All I know is that he was injured.
Yeah, how about that?
How long is he out for the rest of the season?
I don't know, but that was money well
spent. You sound gleeful.
That was money well spent.
I saw yesterday at the toy show, there was a, you know what Funko Pops are?
Yeah.
Those little figures, they're about 4 inches tall, and they're like caricatures. They're like cute, adorable caricatures of people from movies and TV shows and sports, and somebody was selling a Jay Cutler one. And I said to the guy, I go, you know what's weird about this is the toy version of him has the same quarterback rating than the actual game that Jay Cutler does. And he goes, hey, you're probably right. No, I'm definitely right.
And then he gave it to you for free?
Yeah, please take it.
Really? Then, who buys that?
In keeping with Jay Cutler, I dropped it.
The other I like team my Mitch Trubisky.
Yep. All right, Halloween is coming soon, a little over a week away.
You going to dress up?
Uh-uh. You?
I hate dressing up.
You don't dress
up. I love Halloween.
I know, you live for it.
I would start dressing up now if I could. Oh, look, maybe I have.
Have you? That's not a Halloween costume.
No, I looked.
What is it you love about it? I'm curious. I'm about
she
the dressing
could be
up
someone
aspect
she's not.
Of it.
Yes, I love dressing up. I love the scariness of it. I just everything about, you know, okay, I will say my birthday is the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
And my parents, when I was little, it was so hilarious. They always said, oh, you were really born on Halloween, but we didn't want you to grow up with that stigma. So we just, you know.
Oh, that's pretty cute.
I don't know. I don't know if it's because it's connected to my birthday. So I always have great memories.
Yeah.
Because I always had a party on Halloween,
sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
A Halloween-themed birthday party? Would they do that for
usually,
you?
Usually, yeah. Because, you know, my parents are. Just lump it all together. Why have two parties? Let's just have one.
Yeah.
And, or if I even had my cake and stuff the next day, it was just always kind of associated with Halloween.
Yeah.
And I love the candy and the caramel apples and what?
It's
Do
perfect.
I need to go on? What
no,
is wrong with
you
guys?
If you have a taste for a Snickers bar, can't you just go and get
no,
one any other time of the year?
It's completely different.
What,
snack
zero
ones.
Calories
yeah,
when
absolutely.
It's...
absolutely, when it's in a bag that you got from someone else's house.
Maybe I don't
for.
Like dressing up because I was born on Abe Lincoln's birthday and my mom would always dress me up as Abe Lincoln on my birthday, so maybe I don't like dressing up.
And sit you up in a theater seat high
yeah.
above.
And
mom,
the beard
this is
was itchy.
Now make sure you have words of wisdom for everyone who comes by.
Right. Say things with the words fourscore at the beginning. No, I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and so who doesn't love Halloween, though? It's just one of those great...
I love Halloween. Why? I love Halloween. Just the idea of dressing up for it is like, wait. When Stephanie was our producer, every year as Halloween would approach, like, honestly, in July, she'd go, do y'all know what you're going to be for Halloween
right.
yet? And
oh,
we go,
yeah.
No,
we're
not going to be.
We're already something. We've already got our costumes picked out. I enjoyed making costumes for my kids.
Yeah.
They don't really dress up anymore now that they're older, so I have no reason for Halloween.
I dress up to give out candy, and the kids don't even appreciate it.
They don't.
I know.
So
they don't even look at you.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be
so
home
do
this
you
year,
say
so.
To yourself, what's the well, why do I even bother?
Well,
do
it's
even
disappointing.
Say that?
I cry a little bit, and then I just don't do it next time, and I don't give them good candy.
Oh.
Either. Yeah.
That's good.
The ones who, like, comment, they get a taffy apple.
And the bad ones? Oh, good. Circus peanuts.
They get a little
barrel.
Note. They get the 4 score and 7 years
right.
ago note in their life.
Right. Thanks, Mrs. Lincoln. I thought you were crazy. Now I know for sure. All right. Well, as it turns out, they have put together a bunch of fears, phobias, if you will, that have to do with Halloween and the season that you may have and you may not even know you have.
All right.
Now, some of them are easy.
Fear of little kids? Ringing your doorbell at all hours, even after the curfew has been on?
That should be one of them.
Fear of eggs on your house?
That should be another one, too. All right, so they go alphabetical, and you all know the first one because of the great film that John Goodman was in, Arachnophobia, and Jeff Daniels was in that too.
It was
Arachnophobia, phobia was
spiders. Fear of spiders.
I don't like spiders and snakes, Wendy.
Thank you, Jim Stafford.
Ain't what it takes to love me.
How about
me.
Rats?
Let me see if that one's on here. It's not out. Everyone's afraid of rats.
Then why do we live in Chicago?
I actually have a lot of rats, you know, fake rats, and that I put up. And even my kids, they just don't like them.
Isn't
like,
everyone afraid of rats?
Up.
Except there's always one kid. There's always one weird kid in school that has a pet rat.
Yeah.
And if you're
they're
that
usually
weird kid,
white rats, though, not the black ones that are.
But some people will get the gray or black ones as a pet. I don't understand that at all.
I have friends who have rats. They have two rats.
They don't look like the rats that are walking around
outside.
They're rats. Oh, hamster, gerbil, they're all...
Do they keep them caged, Jude, or do they let them walk around
the house?
They let
them out there on their shoulder. Oh. And yeah, I try not to go to the house. Yeah. But now I've switched to birds, too. I've gotten some black birds, and I put them around the house.
But again, these are just...
People hate birds,
These are
too.
Decorations.
Yes, they're decorations.
That's all right.
Absolutely.
They're decorations.
They're not alive.
Do you know what astrophobia is? A-S-T-R-A, phobia, astrophobia.
Fear of your butt getting big?
Yep, that's it exactly, Wendy. Fear of your
butt
getting
big.
What? Big.
Oh, big.
Yep.
Kim Kardashian does not have that fear.
That's the same, but it's two S's at the beginning instead of one S. Astrophobia is fear of thunder and lightning. Now, that's something most little kids have, but then as you get older, you go, well, I'm not going to get it. What's going to happen?
I have a kid who still does not like storms.
I don't like storms. I love when everyone is home and we're there and we're all together, and then I don't worry about it. But sometimes those really powerful zaps of thunder really scare me. Yeah,
because you say, what if I was closer to that and it got me? But for the most part,
it could still hit your house. I still get a little afraid.
And a lot of times the electricity goes off.
Yeah, yeah, that's
what I hate. I associate that with a storm, which I hate. Yeah, because then you worry about flooding and
but isn't it kind of cool to sleep with, like, when there's a bit of rain, a bit of thunder, a bit of lightning? That's
it
nice
is,
to
yeah.
sleep
if it's,
to, isn't
if it's
it?
Mild. But
right.
These days, it's very, really it's mild. Yeah.
Dylan started freshman year in high school, and he told me he likes when it rains when he's at school. Because I said, oh, because you're not missing anything? And he goes, no, I just kind of like it because it's dark in school, and then you don't have to be all bright and cheery for everybody.
How about that?
He's like, on sunny days, everybody's all happy, and, you know, now if everybody's like this,
Right. Overrated.
Like, okay, but I know what I don't mind coming to work when it's storming because really the day is kind of shot already.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. What is this one? This one's fairly easy to guess, I guess. Bogeyphobia. B-O-G-Y phobia.
Fear of the boogie monster.
Yes, fear of the boogeyman. Now, we were all brought up to fear the boogeyman, but a kid today...
They don't even know what a boogeyman is, right?
That word wouldn't even fly.
Right.
Like boogeyman.
Slenderman might...
That would be scarier to a kid today.
Slenderphobia. Is there that?
I don't see it.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not on the list, but I don't see it. But I remember I had an older cousin, Michael, and every time we'd go there, he'd say, well, it's a good thing you're here today because yesterday they had to call in the police. And I'd say, why? And he'd go, because the boogeyman was here and he was terrorizing kids your age. He was a couple years older than me. So then I'd always be a little, you know, careful when I was over there.
That scared you?
Yeah. Because in my head, like, it was never well-defined what the boogeyman was.
Left to your imagination. That's dangerous.
That's scarier. Because I pictured it's a human form, but made up of snot.
Right. And he will eat
you. That's not pretty.
What?
Boogeyman. Man, boogie.
It's not
booger man.
But when you're six, you're not thinking rationally. You're just thinking.
I never thought of boogers.
Well, that
you
would
never
just
did?
Be, that wouldn't be like terrifying. It would just be disgusting.
It would be disgusting.
Yeah, I would be terrifying. Like, you disgust me.
Talk of irrational fears.
And you know where you could find them? Under a desk or under a seat.
Gross.
That's where he'd live.
God.
My brother, there were a bunch of guys that grew up on our block, and I was a tomboy, so I always hung out with them. We'd do flashlight tag and stuff, and every time the older kids, my brother and his friends, would want me to go home, they would say, oh, you better not play anymore. It's getting dark. And in the backyards where they all connect, the moose is there.
The moose?
I was so afraid of the moose.
Why did they pick a moose?
I don't know. And why did I run home crying? Like, did I envision, like, a walking moose, like Bullwinkle, who was just giant, or, like, an actual moose? I don't know why that scared me.
Walking moose is scarier than actual moose.
Because
then
know,
you
those...
go, he's evolved somehow.
I guess.
That'd be scarier.
Hey, can't pull a rabbit out of my sleeve. I don't know why,
Christo.
But that was the big thing. They would say, oh, Wend, I don't know, the moose may be out tonight. And then they'd all go, oh, the moose. And I'd run them crying every time. Till I was about 15.
Wow.
When I was
and then
really...
Moose turned out to be someone you dated later?
Maybe.
Hey, Moose.
That's who you're
talking
about.
Wendy again.
The guy from Archie's.
Big Ethel was mad at me.
When I was a little kid in our apartment complex, there was a peeping Tom. There was a series of two or three incidents within a couple week span of time where people saw a peeping Tom looking into windows. But they would say it in very hushed tones around me so as not to scare me, but I would still hear them talking about it. And I thought a peeping Tom was similar to a vampire. Like, whatever it was, looking in people's windows, I went, well, this is obviously a local.
It sounds so
scary. It's got to be a vampire.
Peeping so, Tom.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, when you think about it, it almost sounds friendly.
Yes. Yeah.
Peep. Like you
compared
just...
to vampire, yeah. It right. sounds, I'll take the peeping Tom over the vampire.
Just peep.
The word, yeah. He would see you and he would go, peep. And you go, oh, Tom. Come on, you got me again. That Tom, always peeping every time I'm in my room.
Peep.
So we were on the second floor, but I would always look at, because vampires could fly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was only getting people who were either on the right. One thing I'll say about peeping Tom, that guy's got some reach. He really did. So they would only, Tom himself would only get people either on ground level one.
Tom himself.
Or the people who were close to the balcony, because he could look over the balcony.
Right.
But I was sure we had a vampire in our apartment complex. I was positive.
What kid's dad was the peeping Tom, by the way?
They never determined who it was. This went on, like I said, for a couple of weeks. But I told you about what I used to do with the note on my bed.
What?
All right. I had my younger brother, Adam, is 2.5 years younger than me. And I was always afraid that either peeping Tom or a vampire or something would come through the window. So here's what I would do. I would bury myself in stuffed animals. I was just 2 or 3 years old, 3 years old, I guess. And then I would put a sign with an arrow.
At three, you were already afraid of the peeping Tom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I put an arrow, a sign with an arrow on my bed so as if to say to a vampire or a monster, go get my brother. He's easier prey.
I remember this.
He's easier prey.
You just have an arrow?
I would draw it on a piece of paper, yeah, and put it on the bed over me. Go get him.
Does Adam ever wake up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and see this note with the arrow pointing to him?
Put the arrow the other way?
Yeah, up or down.
He's tastier than me.
Oh, you are
so mean. I'm easier prey, but he's tastier.
That is true brotherly.
Yeah, well, it's survival, Wendy.
Really, I feel like my kids weren't as scared as we were.
Oh, right. So why
more,
is that?
I don't know.
You should be more scared now, not less scared.
Right? But I feel like kids, I don't know, my kids, I scared them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why aren't they more scared now?
Because of all the movies that are on now scare them. Because my boys prank each other and scare each other all the time. Like, one will hide somewhere and throw a toy or something so you think they're over there. And then
right.
they jump out and they scream. I'm like, how is that fun? And they're giggling. So
it is fun.
It's not fun.
No, I think it. Yeah, that age, it's more fun.
I think for us,
it was more scary.
Right.
It was not
like
fun.
Like life or
ever.
Death.
Yes.
Yeah. The moose was going to get me.
Yes. It was very, very scary.
So a moose in your world is scarier than scarier than Frankenstein or the Wolfman or any monster. A moose is scarier?
Yeah, because I think I knew what they all looked like, so I could know if I saw them in the backyard to run away. But the moose, I wasn't quite sure what it looked like.
Yeah. All right. I can kind of see that.
They were mean to me.
The boys
on the block.
They were.
Including my brother. Led by my brother, I will let you all know.
Again, it was a lot rougher time back then.
Yes, it was.
Not
yes,
like
it
now.
Was.
Where you had your... Because I think now as parents, we shield our kids so much more.
Right.
Before, my parents were...
Right.
What scares you? I'm going to put you out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you in the closet for 8 hours and see if the boogeyman comes and gets you.
What is chiroptophobia?
Chiroptophobia.
C-H-I-R-O-P-T-O phobia, chiroptophobia.
Fear of breaking your back.
Fear of bats.
Oh.
That's what the Cubs had in their last series against the Dodgers. A serious case of chiroptophobia. What is, Wendy, you and I have discussed this on the show at least once, maybe more than once, coulrophobia.
Oh.
C-O-U-L-R-O phobia. Coulrophobia. Yep. Scared of clowns. I've noticed.
How about just it should be clownophobia?
It should be clownophobia.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Several houses near me in their Halloween decorations have incorporated clowns somehow. Not just one, not just two, but several have a scary clown somewhere.
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing it in the past.
Because of it.
Because of it?
Yeah.
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 Oh,
it's
yeah.
A very,
gotta
it's a
be.
Huge costume, too.
Yep.
I just bought that book yesterday.
Have you not read it?
I've not read the book.
Oh, you got to read it.
It's like this.
It's 1,200 pages
yeah.
Because Dylan needs to read it in a freshman English class at
yeah.
Their own pace. So they're only required to read 20 pages
you
a day.
You won't be able to put it down.
Well,
great.
So I said I'd like to borrow after him. I like this new English. They can choose any book they want, but they have to read 20 pages a day. And if you pick the book you want, they still have to read some of the classics.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't a kid more apt to read if they pick
yes,
a book they want?
Absolutely. I have to say, Stephen King is why I'm such a huge reader. I'm a huge reader.
It's an easy read.
I read a couple books a week,
but
usually.
1,200 pages.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
I love good stories. And no,
but didn't you tell me it gets dirty in the book?
Yeah,
there's one particular scene.
Yeah, they left out some stuff in the movie.
Yeah, they did.
Should I rip those pages out of his
no,
book?
It's, and no. Actually, they didn't even need it. I don't know why he did. That was the kind of an odd part of the book, but whatever.
Yeah.
That made me want to read it.
Yeah, no. You'll enjoy it, Wendy. As will your son.
You'll get this one in a second. Hemophobia. What is hemophobia?
Blood.
Yep.
Fear of blood.
So I have a little bit of that. My fear is mostly it's needle-based.
Yeah, I hate needles.
I think you have prickophobia.
I do have that.
It's like, wow, that was a good
pause.
Needle prick. Before you, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe needle phobia?
That's what I have. I'm going to call Humana Med first and ask them if they can help me with that.
They will hang up on you.
You again? You called yesterday using a fake accent. We know it's you, Bill. Stop calling. Lupophobia.
Fear of wolves.
Yes.
Because of lupus. Isn't
oh,
that sad?
Oh, we know
that
our scary, huh? Yeah.
And lupine at all.
Yeah, lupine is, right, is the bracket of animals that the wolves are.
Didn't you go
are.
To school with a guy named Lupine? Or was that
I
your brother?
I worked with a guy named Lupe.
You did?
Yes.
Was he a wolf?
He kind of looked like a wolf.
I'm afraid of
it.
Lisa Wolf, who does the show about the old time radio.
Larry?
Yeah, I'm afraid of her. I'm scared of her. What is maskophobia? It might not be what you think.
Fear of
Who's the guy who wears the mask and not the hunchback, but the
Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, fear of the Phantom of the Opera.
Fear of Broadway musicals. Fear of Andrew Lloyd
fear
Webber.
Fear of Rocky Dennis.
That's what it is. It's fear of Cher roles.
That movie Mask was actually a really good movie with
Eric
Stoltz.
I'm scared of Silkwood too. I might have it.
Maskophobia.
Maskophobia. It might not be what you think.
Yeah, not afraid of masks.
Yep. No, that's what it is.
Oh, it might not be what we think, but it is.
It is. Yeah. Fear of masks.
You mask
you're
that
tricky.
Well.
What is necrophobia?
Fear of the dead.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Very good. Because necrophilia is the exact opposite.
That was in my thought
that's
bubble, but
opposite.
It didn't go on the air. But thanks, Bill.
That's where you're not only afraid of the dead. You
enjoy them.
You like to
you
spoon
enjoy
with
the
them.
Dead, yeah.
Shut up.
What is, by the way, that may be the weirdest thing in the world. I can't think of anything offhand that's weirder than that. Can you? That's just
bestiality.
I've read a lot of Stephen King.
That's
so yeah,
weird too. Don't get me wrong.
We're going which is the weirdest.
But think about that. You're attracted to dead people. I'm not a fan. I'll be honest with you.
Good to know. We'll put that in your file here.
I don't want any confusion. Was he a fan of necrophobia? Yeah. No, he says he was not.
No, he likes Peeping Toms, but he does not like necrophilia.
Beep.
Oh, Tom.
What if Tom died?
Oh, maybe that.
Not a fan anymore?
Not a fan. That's where I draw the line, right there. Not a fan. What is nyctophobia? N-Y-C-T-O phobia. Nyctophobia.
Afraid of nyctagilia?
Yes. Yes. Fear of the dark. So almost the same.
Oh.
Yeah. Fear of the dark. But again, that's one of those things that there's, you got it. Like, it's kind of in you to be a little bit wary of the dark, not necessarily afraid
when
of it.
When you can't see something in front of you. Yeah. Because you are out
it's
of sorts.
The unknown.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a little bit scary.
And every time it's that dark, something touches you.
Right. Automatically.
That's why I wear my Spelunkers light that Jimmy Mack bought me for Christmas, which I looked at him and I go, what do I need this for? And
he goes,
you
never know.
You know, sometimes you're beating and the light's not good. Yeah. Or sometimes you were fixing the ceiling fan and you made me hold the flashlight and you kept yelling at me because I was
really
moving.
Which is really kind of genius.
Yeah.
I've used this thing so many times.
Have you?
It was one of the best presents.
Yeah, it's a good
presents.
Gift. It's a good gift.
I'm going to wear
right
it
right after
I
the
want.
Iron.
I never got an iron.
Or vacuum.
What's phasmophobia? Phasmo phobia. Phasmophobia.
Afraid of falling.
Nope. Jude?
That's plasma, not phasma.
Phantasm. You're afraid of phantasm.
Actually, it fits in. Did you ever see the movie Phantasm?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's a really scary
movie.
It's
like a nightmare. It's what a nightmare that movie is, but it's so good. Phasmophobia, fear of ghosts.
Oh.
Yeah. Placophobia is fear of
going to the dentist.
Winning small awards.
I only win big awards.
Placophobia. Fear of tombstones.
Ooh.
Now that's odd, right?
I don't like them, but I'm not afraid of them.
You shouldn't be afraid of them. It's just some sort of a marking that somebody is buried there. So that's the scary part. So why would you be afraid of the tombstone itself?
Well, we would take our kids to the cemetery on Halloween.
So you're just, mom of the year,
just drop
I swear
them off.
To God.
We'll be by around 1 a.m.
We'd go with them.
Sort of. What was that called? Orienteering, where you would have to find your way back from somewhere?
Yeah.
Is that what you did with them?
No, we didn't.
Is that where you trick-or-treated?
Judy's counsel has advised her to say that never happened. So that never happened.
Did I say that out loud? No.
What is Samhainophobia? Samhainophobia.
Are you saying that right?
Yeah, I think so. Sam, Hain, H-A-I-N, a phobia. Samhainophobia.
Afraid of salmon? Corey Haim?
Yes.
Afraid of underwear? Haynes?
Yes. It is fear of Halloween.
Well, that's dumb.
Fear of Halloween.
Well, what is that word come from? That's, what?
I don't know.
Sammy Hagar made it up. I know, it's stupid. Is it Friday yet?
What is Sam Panayanovich phobia?
Fear of sports?
Yep. What is, I don't know how I'm going to say this one right. I don't think I'll say this one right. I'll spell it out. Sanguivor phobia. Sanguiphobia. Sanguivorophobia. Sanguivorophobia. That's what it is. What is that?
Fear of the Illinois Attorney General? I mean, the Illinois Attorney Governor?
Yep. Nope. It's
Lieutenant
fear of
Governor.
Vampires. But again, vampires, by nature, are really, really scary. So once we realize that they don't really exist, that fear should go away. But I'm afraid of needles.
Who says they don't exist? That's the problem. No, really. I got a thing for vampires.
A thing meaning... alike?
Yeah, kind of.
All right, 312-235-2500.
They scare me, yet they excite me. And
that's because they bite your neck.
But they're built for that. That's what they're made for. They want to. There is a sexiness to them,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, but they're not. Did you watch True Blood?
No. I saw the first season of it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Did you ever see, or all right, first you could have read this or you could have seen it because they turned it into a film. It's called Night Flyer by Stephen King.
Night Flyer?
It's about a vampire who has an airplane and goes from place to place by way of airplane.
Well,
it's really
why does
good.
He need an airplane?
Oh,
they
you
fly. Gotta,
you got to read it or
he's
see
a lazy
it.
Vampire.
Exactly.
For the mileage.
You want and they all have so
mileage.
Much money for the points.
Right. He's big into the points. one more. Well, I'll just read you the rest of them. Skelephobia, obviously fear of skeletons. Terrophobia is fear of monsters. And Wikiphobia.
Fear of Wikipedia, because they're always wrong.
That's it.
Witches.
Witches and Wicker. All right. Judy, thank you for hanging out.
Absolutely.
We'll take a quick break. Then we'll close up the shop. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That sounds like our skedaddling song.
That is our skedaddling song. You hear that song, you know it's time to pack it up. Thanks to everybody, both for listening and for enjoying the show, I'm guessing. I'm hoping.
I think some of you
enjoyed it. I hope you did.
It was an enjoyable show today.
It was a very enjoyable show today. Today's show is very easy to enjoy. Tomorrow, more of the same. Hopefully even more enjoyable, if that's possible. I don't know. We'll find out. So tune in again tomorrow. And thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.